with What's News from the Wall Street Journal. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York. Amtrak's plan to overhaul its national network could mean getting rid of long-haul trains.
They don't expect that every single long-distance route will go away, but if they get what they want, there will not be 15 of these in the future. And again, that will all depend on whether or not they can get Congress to agree.
Wall Street Journal reporter Ted Mann has the details coming up. But first, here are some other top stories we're following. President Trump says auto tariffs on the European Union are still on the table if a trade deal can't be reached. The president is considering tariffs of at least 20% on auto imports. The domestic industry largely opposes the tariffs, which they warn could disrupt international supply chains and provoke retaliatory action. The minutes from the Federal Reserve's January meeting show officials are split on whether any interest rate increases will be needed later this year. The central bank has paused any additional increases for the time being. The minutes show the Fed is also thinking about plans to stop shrinking its $4 trillion asset portfolio later this year, with details of the plan expected to be released soon. CVS Health says challenges in its pharmacy benefits and long-term care businesses will ding earnings results in its first year as a merged company. CVS completed its nearly $70 billion acquisition of insurance company Aetna in November. The company says the merger will help cut health care costs and improve care for patients. CVS Chief Executive Larry Merlo says 2019 is a transitional year. He also says the company is concerned about the impact of a proposal that could curb rebates from drug makers connected to some Medicare and Medicaid plans. The proposal is still subject to change. Rivals PetSmart and Petco are both still struggling after the pet store companies were taken over by private equity firms nearly 3 years ago. PetSmart is facing slower sales growth on Chewy.com, the e-commerce company it bought for more than $3 billion. Petco is working to bring customers back into its stores with grooming and other services that aren't available online. The pet business is a big one in the U.S., where more than two-thirds of households own a pet. The American Pet Products Association says Americans spent $70 billion on pet food, supplies, and veterinary care last year. Still to come, more details on Amtrak's plans to overhaul its national network. Amtrak is overhauling its national network, but its plan to boost ridership could mean eliminating long-haul routes and its famous sleeper cars. Joining us now from Washington with more details is Wall Street Journal reporter Ted Mann. Ted, next month Amtrak will unveil its five-year plan, and the network is facing some challenges here. Can you outline some of the things we're looking at?
Sure. The plan that's coming out next month will be an overview of the railroad's assets, which includes the rail cars and locomotives that they own. That plan is going to sort of tee up a decision that is coming when reauthorization of Amtrak and all of the national highway funding happens in 2020-2021. And the issue that they're facing is how to deal with replacing the aging fleet that serves those long-distance trains. So think about a train from Chicago to Los Angeles or from Chicago to Seattle, where you have a locomotive and sleeper cars and dining cars with hot food and baggage cars. Those trains are nearing the end of their useful life. It'll be more than $3 billion to replace that entire fleet for all of the 15 long-distance lines. What Amtrak wants to do is replace those train sets with more flexible coaches, so more like what you would see on the regional trains in the Northeast, where you fit many more passengers and they're trains that could run back and forth more frequently on corridors where there are a lot of people living right now. So that means that you'd have city pairs in the Southeast and the Southwest and in the Midwest, where right now there's not really frequent Amtrak daily train service where the railroad would like to run more service. To do that, they'll have to buy a different type of train than what they are using there right now.
And long-haul routes, as you write about in your piece for the Wall Street Journal, may bring up nostalgic memories for some riders. But when it comes to the financials, they're actually losing money for Amtrak. How much and why?
Overall, the long-distance network loses about $750 million a year, so there's a much greater government subsidy of the operations there than there is on the Northeast Corridor or on the state-supported lines, which are, there's a little bit of a state funding element on those other routes. The long-distance routes, just they go a very long distance, as the name implies. They are usually not full from end to end. There are diehard fans of these trains who love to ride them and, you know, we'll spend 2 or 3 days on a train. Where they are serving cities along the way, there are people who in those communities who need the train and are worried about losing the train. But those are not huge passenger volumes that get on and off. Part of the problem there is that these trains are very frequently not running on schedule. They run along rail routes that are owned, where the right-of-way is owned by freight railroads. They are often delayed by freight traffic. So it's not a really reliable, frequent way of getting from place to place in a lot of these communities, which means the people who use these trains for transportation do so because they need to. A lot of other people would just drive. And then you have a core group of fans of these railroad routes who just want to ride it for the experience. But that's not enough to come close to making up the cost of running the trains.
But these plans are potentially setting up a battle with Congress, right? As it looks like changing some long-distance routes could meet some criticism from lawmakers.
Yes. Every time Amtrak has tried to adjust the way they serve these long-distance routes, they immediately run into opposition from members of Congress who represent states and districts that are along the path that the train travels. Most recently, Amtrak tried to adjust a route called the Southwest Chief that runs from Chicago to Los Angeles and to replace a big middle section of that route with bus service. And that drew immediate outrage from senators all along the route. They wound up putting an amendment on a transportation bill last year. They got some money into the spending bill that just passed last week to give Amtrak money to rehabilitate parts of that line. And they got an agreement that Amtrak would drop the bus proposal through 2019. But what our story says is that sort of solution is still very much what the railroad is considering, that where there are pockets where there's just not a lot of service, they would rather run buses to those towns and instead focus on running new trains that go back and forth much more frequently between cities that are 300 to 400 miles apart, because that's where they feel they can offer millions more riders than they serve today a chance to get back and forth without using their cars.
Ted, the Northeast Corridor, which Amtrak is looking to emulate here across the nation, certainly has its problems as well with delays and congestion. How would Amtrak aim to solve this if this model is replicated elsewhere? Give us a picture of what the new network could look like.
There's a lot of other improvement that would need to happen for there to be frequency of service like the Northeast Corridor anywhere else in the country. The biggest thing is sharing those tracks with freight trains. The freight organizations are the owners of the right-of-way in almost all of the rest of the country where Amtrak operates. Amtrak has a legal right to go first, usually, in the absence of an emergency. But in practice, that's something that Amtrak and the freights fight about all the time. So there would need to be big improvements to the physical infrastructure of those sections of track, meaning sidings and bypasses that enable passenger trains to stay on schedule. That's a big part of it, and that will cost a ton of money. But they are coming up on a reauthorization of the railroad. They're operating, you know, relatively efficiently compared to the way they did in the past, and they officials of the railroad believe that they can go to Congress with some credibility to say, you need to give us this funding in order to run this service that will, in return, just serve a lot more of your constituents than it does now.
What else are you hearing from Amtrak at this point?
They are eager to rethink the way they handle the service on the national network. They also will say that they don't expect to get rid of every single long-distance route. There are still going to be a few areas where Amtrak believes it has loyal customers who are willing to pay a pretty substantial amount to ride a train for a few days because they love the experience and they love the scenery. There are a bunch of these routes in the West, especially in California and in Florida. And so they don't expect that every single long-distance route will go away. But if they get what they want, there will not be 15 of these in the future. And again, that will all depend on whether or not they can get Congress to agree.
That's Wall Street Journal reporter Ted Mann joining us from Washington with the latest on Amtrak. Ted, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And that's What's News. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York for The Wall Street Journal.